everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Hope you're having a great day today. I wanted to squeeze in an extra episode to do a year-end review. This is a process I encourage everybody to do. One of the things that Chris and I do actually on Thanksgiving every year is we, actually day after Thanksgiving usually, the day we decorate our Christmas tree, we take these little wooden rounds, think of like a little circular slice of wood, and we write on it the things that stood out to us from that year, like the year that Roman was born, that was certainly one of my things, or writing and publishing a book. We just want to remember things, and it's really fun every year to be able to reflect on the things that stood out to us in that year. Because otherwise, you look back, and if I were to think like, okay, 1997, what happened in 97? No idea. Or like 2008, what happened? I don't know. And the process of a year-end review not only gives you the ability to look back and remember what you were doing in that year, but as importantly, it allows us to reflect on what we can celebrate and where we need to change, where things need to shift. This is a great process to do by yourself. It's a great process to do with a significant other if you have one. And I like to look at every aspect of my life. I like to look at work. I like to look at money. I like to look at faith and family and all of those different things. Health, of course. And 2023 was a huge year for me. And it's kind of funny because the day after Thanksgiving when I was creating my ornament, I was like, gosh, what big thing happened? And there wasn't some big thing in previous years, like in 2022, the twins were born and the twins were conceived. It all sort of happened really fast because they came so early. In 2021, Roman was born. I mean, there was just so many things like that that were huge. And in 2023, there wasn't any single thing like that. And I struggled more in 2023 finding those things that stuck out when I was creating my ornament for the year. But as I went through this process of reflecting back on the year, this really was a huge year, even though there weren't these massive singular events. And a big part of why 2023 was just a really major year was that it was the first year of having twins and a toddler. Because yeah, they were born in 2022. They came home from their 3+ month NICU stay at the end of 2022. So 2023, we were still very much like figuring out life with still newborn twins and a toddler. And it was a lot. 2023 has been full of shifts and changes. Because at first it was just survival mode. And honestly, there are still some days where it feels like survival mode. In fact, there are elements of every single day probably that feel like survival mode. But Roman turned 2 this year and the twins turned 1 this year. And I launched the Consistency 365 series and Strong Foundations and the Consistency Calendar and question cards. And it's just lots happened. What I want to do, the structure that I like to take with a year-end review is what was awesome, what am I most proud of, and what was really hard. Then I want to share with you, I figured it would make sense to do it in this episode, 6 changes that I've made recently, kind of in response to some of the things that have been really hard. 6 changes that I've made recently, and I want to tell you the details of all of that. And then what's new with Primal Potential and what's coming. But if you were doing this yourself, I think the what was awesome, what are you most proud of, what was hard, what needs to change is a really great format to kind of go through. So let's start with what was awesome. One of the things that I am most encouraged by this year, most reinvigorated by, is that we found a church family for our family this year, and we've really been making some friends within it, and that is major, not only as parents, right? You realize, like, all of a sudden, we've got these three kids, and we didn't have friends with kids that age, and you want your kids to be around other kids, and we're at home, so our kids aren't in daycare, so we're not meeting parents of young kids that way, but also, we did not have a home church in 2020 when Dagny died, and that, along with other things, made that process and the immediate aftermath, the immediate months after, just much more isolating than they needed to be, and quite frankly, than they should have been. So it feels so good to be part of a community. That has been major for us. It's something we shifted into early in 2023. And surprisingly, at least surprisingly, if you know my husband, which I know many of you don't, it was his idea, which makes it even better for me and for our family. And that's been great. So the other thing that was awesome, I couldn't talk about what's awesome without talking about my kids. And I know everybody thinks their kids are amazing, but the twins, you know, the day they were born, after I came out of the operating room post C-section and they brought me to the NICU, the neonatologist was very, very frank and very grave and very concerned that nothing they were doing to stabilize them was working. And she said, you know, I'm very concerned. And I remember asking her, is one of them doing better than the other? Like, is one in grave danger and the other one's like a little bit on more sure footing? And she said no, that they, you know, she was very concerned about the survival of both of them. And so to see them turn one, to see them crawl, to see them walk, to see them say their first words, like, guys, oh, it's just awesome. Every single day they remind me of how miraculous their existence is on so many levels. I still have days where I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe there's two of you. This is a lot. And there are moments in every single day where Chris and I are trying to talk to each other and there's three kids yelling or screaming or running around and we literally can't even hear each other. And we'll just say, like, text me or we'll talk about it later. It is bonkers. And as much as it has been a hard part, and we'll get there, because I want to be very, very honest that it's not all sunshines and rainbows, it's been awesome. And it's been awesome to see Roman be a big brother and to watch his language develop and to see his little personality shine. It's just been so, so awesome. Another real highlight, kind of along the lines of family, is my mom and her husband moved to the Cape in the same sort of area where we live, not in the same town, but they're local to us, about 20 minutes away. After Dagny died, I think my mom just really felt compelled to be closer, because that whole season was just brutally hard on everybody. And Chris, my husband's parents, live here. They're from here. And every week I just have felt tremendous gratitude for having them close. I lived away from family for 15 or 16 years. My family was all in New England. I lived in the Carolinas. And to be back with family and see our kids engaging with their grandparents multiple times a week is just awesome. It is so good. I'm so grateful for it. I do not take it for granted. That has been awesome. Another thing that's been really awesome is getting in a groove with work. I'll talk about this in what was hard, because, you know, it's awesome because of how hard the season was prior to it. postpartum, every single time, I feel like I've had this brain fog season. Not just this, I'm a little slower, my memory is not as sharp because I'm sleep deprived, but this like real sense that I've lost my drive and I've lost my ability to focus, and is it ever going to come back? And so it has been awesome, and it's been recent, but it has been awesome to get back in touch with that fire and that drive and feel like I'm productive. And that's just a very rewarding feeling for me personally. So doing things like the Consistency 365 series and Strong Foundations and getting the consistency calendar and the questions out there just feels good to be productive in that way. And I'm tremendously grateful for emerging from that fog. What I'm most proud of is related to that. There's a couple things that I'm most proud of when I reflect on 2023. I'll talk about the work ones first, and then I'll talk about the personal ones. When I had Morgan on the podcast, and this was before Strong Foundations was even an idea in my head, and we were just talking about the importance of getting strong and lifting weights, there was this outpouring of messages from those of you who listen to the show being like, I totally understand that this is important. I have undervalued it, or I haven't executed well, and I want to know more. I want to learn more. And I felt this strong pull to create something and to ask Morgan, but I also felt challenged by the reality of my time and just being a stay-at-home parent and creating something new in a season where I have 2 1-year-olds and a 2-year-old, and finding time just to keep doing the things that I was doing felt challenging. And so I questioned, can I do something new? Can I make it happen? And I am so proud that I took that step, that I did the work to brainstorm with Morgan, that I'm so proud of what we have put together. I've been, while Morgan wrote all the workouts and the demos and all of that, because he's really the expert in the fitness side of things, I've been building out the back end platform and all the different tiers of programming and putting together the videos and drafting the ebook and having that designed and all of that. And every single day that I'm working on that, I am just so proud that we put together such a resource and proud of the response that it got. I was blown away by how many of you raised your hands and said, yeah, I need that. I want that. And I know that my pride in it will grow as we kick off here in this first week of January, but oh my gosh, it is so good. When I regularly come in from my office and tell Chris, like, Strong Foundations is so good. Like, it's just gonna be such a transformative experience for so many people. So I'm super proud of that. And then the other thing more personally that I'm really proud of is staying in the game, even though it's been very hard. I am beyond grateful for my twins and for Roman and for the ability to bring 4 babies into the world in less than 2.5 years. But it is crazy making. I mean, the teething, the screaming, the 3 little people needing you all at once, and the, you know, twins now being mobile and going after Roman stuff and wanting to keep Roman from having his hair pulled by them. They don't understand not to pull hair. They're one. But also addressing Roman's pushing when he gets mad that they've pulled his hair or they've stolen his truck or they've scratched his face. I mean, it is a lot. And add to that, trying to make the scheduling work so that I can take care of myself and I can work out and I can work and I can get out of the house sometimes by myself to do something more than go to the grocery store. there have been so many days where it's just been not good, right? And not good in the sense of I didn't get a workout in, or I wasn't able to get my work done, or, you know, I was left feeling like I had to do everything after they went to bed and I was really tired. But we just kept trying. And I'm so proud of the fact that I kept saying, and I kept going to my husband and saying, we need to try something different. Let's try this. Let's adjust this. Let's try it this way. And we just stayed in the game, because there have been so many other seasons of my life before kids when if things didn't go the way I wanted them to go, the way that I planned for them to go, the way that I hoped that they would go, that I would just throw my hands up in the air and feel like I was a victim. I can't because my job is too stressful. I can't because I don't have time. I can't because I don't have enough money. And in this season, in this year, that was just, you know, we get through one challenge and there's another, and we overcome one hurdle and there's another, and we survive one tough day and there's another. I just never gave up. When I would dial in my diet and my body wouldn't respond, or my circumstances wouldn't align with the changes that I was making, I never stopped trying. And that is just something I'm tremendously proud of. No matter how long the nights were, no matter how long the days were, I just stayed in the game and kept trying new things. And I think that's, I'm going to share six changes that I've made recently. And I think all six of them have really come together. And it's the recipe that's working right now. I know that it might not be the recipe that's working 6 weeks from now, but I want to encourage you that if you're trying something and it's not working, if you're pursuing something and you're not seeing the results that you want to see, the most important thing that you can do is just stay in the game. Do not default to victim mentality and, oh, see, it never works. I can't do it. No matter what, I always do this. It always ends up like this. I never get there. Just stay committed to trying something else, to trying in a new way, to adjusting your approach, to adjusting your thoughts, to adjusting your timing, to just adjusting. Stay in the game. In terms of what was hard, I've talked a little bit about this on the show, but not too much. Postpartum anxiety hit me really, really hard this year. And it's interesting because I for sure was depressed after Dagny died, but it wasn't abnormal. My overwhelming feeling at that time was, of course I'm depressed, my child died, right? Like, I watched her die, and it happened fast and it was so unexpected. And because it was like, well, of course I feel this way, it didn't feel like something I had to fix. It just felt like a season that I had to walk through, right? This was really different. This experience with postpartum anxiety was very, very different from my experience with grief, because the twins were born in August of 2022, but then I was just in survival mode. Like, I didn't have time to be derailed by anxiety. I mean, they were in the NICU for over 3 months, and I was getting up at 4 a.m. I was driving 2 hours to Boston. I was spending half the day with the girls. I was driving more than 2 hours home because Cape traffic in the summer. And then I was spending the rest of the day with Roman, who was 15 months old at the time. And then when he would go to bed, I would go to work. I didn't have time to deal with anything other than just, it was just on to the next. And then, you know, they came home in November of 2022, and kind of the same thing there. Like, we had watched them stop breathing so many times in the hospital, like thousands of times. And I had watched their hearts stop thousands of times over 3.5 months in the hospital. And so when they first came home, it was that same sort of like, I don't have time to deal with my own stuff. I'm watching these kids like a hawk, and I wasn't sleeping. And then I believe that why it hit me so hard in 2023 is because that's the first time I had a chance to breathe. In a long time, because my pregnancy with the twins was stressful, and, you know, then Roman was born, and before that it was Dagny, and 2023 was like the time that things started to settle down. Even though they've been hard and they've been chaotic, we were out of crisis mode. And as soon as we got out of crisis mode, and I had the opportunity to breathe, postpartum anxiety hit me like a ton of bricks, and I several times said to my sister, said to my husband, my level of anxiety is far beyond normal. And it was infiltrating every thought in my mind, every waking moment of the day. And I think that that anxiety had a lot to do with what I thought was vertigo and the symptoms that I was experiencing. Like, my whole body was like every nerve ending was exposed. And God bless anybody who's listening who struggles with anxiety. I fortunately am in a dramatically better place, I think in large part due to the changes that I've made recently that I want to share with you guys. But I'm not going to lie, postpartum anxiety really messed me up in 2023. I would have irrational fears of things happening to me, to my husband, to my kids, and it would consume my mind. I tried a lot of different things, and for months it just wasn't working, until the recent changes that I've made. But it made it hard to focus on work. It made it hard to focus on my health. It's almost like you put these glasses on, these anxiety glasses on, and it changes the way you see everything. It was very hard for me to operate normally. It was extremely intense. I'm not talking like intermittent irrational fear about X or Z or intermittent anxiety about social situations or whatever. Like, it was constant, life altering. The other thing that was hard, I've already touched on this, is just it's hard to have 2 1-year-olds and 2-year-olds. It's hard to be around noise and chaos and mess and mama, 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 and 3 kids that all want to be held at the same time. I love it. I wouldn't change it, but I'm not going to tell you that it wasn't hard. And, you know, parenting is always hard in different ways. But I think this season, where Roman isn't very independent and the girls aren't independent at all, it's exhausting. It's a lot. And the other thing that was hard, kind of related to that, is I think in addition to the postpartum anxiety, my hormones took a really long time to normalize post-twins. Like, it's crazy to me that it's been over a year since they were born, and it's just been in the last 4 weeks. I kid you not, the last 4 or 5 weeks is when I feel like the fog lifted. I could feel it starting to lift maybe 4 or 5, maybe 6 months ago. Like, I could feel it starting to lift, but, and I didn't know, is it going to get better than this? Like, is this the extent of the lifting? And I think, you know, everybody is different. Some people can really have a much faster transition postpartum. And I think it depends on the individual. I think it depends on age. I think it depends on lifestyle factors. I think it depends on the circumstances of your kids, and certainly on how much sleep you're getting, which with twins for a while there was like real sketchy. But that fear that I'll never be myself, never have the focus, the ability to focus, the drive, the desire, the time. And now I feel like I'm on the other side of that, but that's very, very recent. The majority of 2023 was just a thick fog that made it. It really influenced everything. It influenced my work. It influenced my marriage. It influenced my other relationships in my life and my health and all of those things. And so it was a doozy. It was a real doozy, which leads me to 6 changes that I have made recently. And I can't say if I have some guesses, but I can't say like if one disproportionately is driving results more than the other. I have some guesses on what's disproportionately driving results, like what are the small rocks and what are the big rocks, and I'll give you my thoughts on that. But of course, it's just subjective. Number six will probably really surprise you. It really surprised me, but I'm pumped about it. One of the changes I actually emailed about, so if you're on my email list, you already heard about this. I severed ties with my personal trainer. So I think it was probably in like August, maybe, that I started working out with a trainer again. I had been working out at home, kind of hit or miss-ish, a little bit, doing some core rehab and stuff. But like I actually got really back into working out probably in July, August timeframe. And I recently, like in the last couple weeks, stopped working with that trainer. That was a big shift. And what I started doing instead, primarily, are the Strong Foundations workouts that Morgan programmed. It is so, I wanted to do them prior to the kickoff so that I had experience, so that I could answer questions about them, so that I could chime in and give my thoughts and my recommendations and my feedback and all of that. But I've been really pumped to see the improvements in strength and stamina and confidence. But I really think that the more physically active I am, even going back to the trainer that I had been working with since the summertime, the better I feel overall. It's a tough thing. And I think if you're a mom of young kids, you can certainly relate to this. There's this voice in your head sometimes that says, like, I'm too tired to work out. And I know from I've got plenty of sleep deprivation. I've got plenty of nights up with the kids. I have more energy when I do work out than when I don't. So that voice in my mind that says, like, I'm too tired to work out is a lie. It doesn't mean that I'm hitting it with high intensity interval workouts. I'm not. I'm absolutely not doing high intensity stuff. I'm lifting weights. I'm doing strength training, and it increases my energy. So when I am low energy, which is often just in the season of life that I'm in with kids, one of the things that really makes it better is working out, and the Strong Foundations workouts have been so good for me. The second change that I made recently, I talked about this somewhere a little bit, so you might have heard me mention it, but I know I haven't gone into detail. I told you all that I thought I had vertigo. I didn't have vertigo, but I had like, at least 6 weeks of not feeling good at all. Like a lot of dizziness, more headaches than I've ever had in my life. Like I very, very rarely get headaches, and I was getting regular headaches, but the dizziness was the most debilitating thing. And in that process, I was trying everything to be like, okay, what change can I make that's going to make this better? And one of the changes that I made was I got rid of my fancy coffee maker, my fancy espresso machine, and I replaced it with a Chemex, which is just like a glass pour over thing. So I got a gooseneck kettle. I got unbleached paper filters that are super clean, and the glass Chemex. And the reason for that is that I was trying to get rid of any toxic exposure, any toxins that were building up. And what I know is that you can't break apart the espresso machine and clean it. And so if I'm running water and coffee through this thing multiple times every single day, I don't have confidence that just running the clean cycle cleans it the way that it needs to be cleaned, okay? And the example that I can visually see of this, the other day, I was on the floor playing with the kids. And at one point, I was sitting on the kitchen floor with my back against the refrigerator, and I looked up, not a position I'm in very often, but I looked up to be able to see up the, like, the water dispenser in the door of the refrigerator. And there's this little tube that comes down. Y'all, even though our refrigerator has like a little clean flush cycle or whatever, just like our coffee machine does, and we run it, that tube that dispenses the water was disgusting. Disgusting. And it's not even hot water running through that in the fridge the way that it is in the coffee maker. So number one, hot water breaks down plastic. And those espresso machines have plastic parts. They might largely be metal or other things, but they have plastic parts. And so when you're running heat, hot water through plastic, the toxins in the plastic start to break down and they get into what you're drinking. Plus, on top of that, I was very concerned about mold and the internal parts that I can't see. I can tell you that when I made that change, my dizzy, and I tried a ton of changes prior to that. When I made that change, my dizziness that had been there hundreds of times a day, hundreds of incidences of dizziness per day for 6+ weeks were gone within a couple of days of me making that change. So again, I got just, it's literally, you've probably seen what a pour over setup looks like, but it's just glass, right? It's open on the top and then it's sort of like a bulb in the bottom. So there's no plastic. You can see the whole thing. You can clean the whole thing. And then I have a gooseneck kettle. Again, you can see the whole thing. You can clean the whole thing. No plastic parts. And I've been doing pour over. So I grind my beans. I heat up the water in the gooseneck kettle, and then I do pour over every single day. It is slower. Your coffee is not going to stay as hot for as long. But I am incredibly confident that it's reduced my toxic exposure, and that is worth it. And that very well might have something to do with the drastic improvement in the postpartum anxiety. I do not think that it's the biggest needle mover for the anxiety. I'm going to tell you the couple of things that I think are the biggest needle movers there. But yeah, got rid of my fancy schmancy coffee maker that I loved. I loved it. I do miss it, but happy to make the switch, especially since my dizziness went away after making that switch. Third change that I've made recently, and I talked about this on an episode the other day, I've been doing red light therapy 3 times a day. Now, that does not mean I'm like going to a spa and spending all this money. For at least 8 years, I've had a red light at home, but I wasn't using it very regularly. I was for a while, maybe like, I don't know. Probably not even consistently. I was using it intermittently for many, many, many years. But up until recently, the red light that I had, it was big and it was stationary. And so I had to like be in this one place, basically sitting in a closet, and it hung on the back of the closet door. And I just don't usually in this season of my life have time to lock myself in a closet and sit in front of a red light. Well, it changed when I was influenced like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving by this portable wireless rechargeable red light. And I loved the idea that it was a wireless, so I could take it wherever I was. And it was small, like it's, you know, slightly bigger than my hand, so that I don't have to like be in one place. If I'm sitting at my desk, I can use it right there. If I'm laying in bed, I can use it right there. If I'm working at my desk, if I'm driving in the car, I can use it there. So I was influenced. I bought it. And since then, I have been doing red light therapy at least a couple times a day, always 2, sometimes 3 times a day. One of the things that I do first thing in the morning before I even leave my room, I think it turns off automatically. I think it runs for 10, 15 minutes. I've never really looked at how long it is, but 10 or 15 minutes. And I do it for light exposure because it's where I live. It's dark when I wake up in the morning. It's dark again at 4 in the afternoon. There are days where it's just cloudy and overcast. It's been really crappy here lately, so not a lot of sun exposure. And one of the big things for mental health is light exposure. And when you don't get enough light, and I'm not talking about artificial light from, you know, the light bulbs in your kitchen or anything like that, depression and anxiety really react to that. They are exacerbated by a lack of light. So I've been doing it for mood and anxiety daily, but I've also been using it because red light can really help with blood flow. It helps with healing. It helps with inflammation, helps with so many different things. So I've been using it if I have soreness after a workout, or I've been using it on my C-section scar to help with recovery there because I had 3 C-sections back to back to back to back. And I really think that has been a big factor in the dramatic decrease in postpartum anxiety. I honestly think this is, I'm like a little nervous to say this, but I feel very strongly that I'm out of the woods with the postpartum anxiety, and what I experience now is just normal anxiety. You know, like we all have those moments of nervousness. You know, if my husband said he would be home at a certain time and he's not home, that thought of like, oh gosh, is he okay? That sort of thing. Like I really think that I might be at a baseline, and I don't know if my sister listens to the show regularly, but if she does, she can tell you that it wasn't that long ago. Like within the last 6-8 weeks, I was texting her saying like, I'm not okay. This level of anxiety is not okay. So to be at a place where it's after months and months and months and months and months of truly distracting and debilitating anxiety, to be in this place feels miraculous. So I do think that the red light had a big part to play in that, and I'll link the one that I use in the show description. 4th change, not a whole lot to say about this. I had been going back and forth on buying a sauna. I know that sounds insane, and it's an incredible luxury that I do not take for granted, but for probably a year, I was like, oh, I'd love to have one. It's so expensive. I shouldn't buy one. Yes, I should. My health matters. What should I spend my money on other than keeping my family healthy? And I took advantage of a Black Friday special, got a sauna. And so I would say 5 or 6 days a week, I've been sitting in the sauna for 20 minutes. I'm still building up the heat and the time, but I definitely intend to have it be a 6 or 7 day a week habit, maybe up to 30 minutes. And it's just really great for detoxification. So I'm pumped about that because that matters. Detoxification matters. I'll also link the brand that I bought. I did literally multiple years of research because I have been obsessed with the idea of having a sauna for a long time, and I've been seriously considering it for about a year. So did a lot of research. Okay, this next one. We got 2 more in the changes I've made recently. This next one I think is the biggest thing, the biggest needle mover of anxiety, but also I think too really the focus and the drive that has come back. No sugar. Zero. Zero sugar. And I should say zero like processed sugar, not even processed, zero sugar outside of fruit. I might have fruit a few times a week, but beyond that, zero sugar. I am incredibly confident that that is the biggest needle mover on anxiety. It's not an easy shift to make, and it is easier for some than others. And it's interesting. I actually made the shift before Christmas, and then as Christmas approached, I was like, am I gonna go through Christmas without having sugar? I don't think I've ever done that. I really don't think I've ever had a Christmas where I haven't eaten sugar. Whether it was like overeating or even just indulging a little bit, I don't believe that I've ever had a Christmas without it. And every time the thought would pop into my mind, like, okay, I'm doing this, but what about Christmas? What am I gonna do on Christmas? I was just sort of like, I don't need to decide that today. That can be a game day decision, right? Like, let's focus on today. And that's what I did. I just, every single time I was like, yeah, but what about this? What about this? Like, focus on today. And wouldn't you know, Christmas Day came and I was like, so Elizabeth, what's it going to be? Like, are you going to keep on the no sugar thing? Or are you going to have today be a day where you have the sugar? Are you going to, like, is there some middle ground here? What are you going to do? I didn't want it. I am a sugar monster. Like, that's my thing. Chips don't do it for me. Alcohol doesn't do it for me. Like, I'm not a rice, potato, bread girl. But, like, somebody brings over some cookies. Okay. My husband bakes a cake. Okay. No. Honest to God, I didn't want it. And it's, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that because I know that our taste buds respond to what we expose them to. So the more we eat sugar, the more we want sugar. And the less we eat sugar, the less we want sugar. And so I'm not here to say, like, I'm never having sugar ever again. In fact, I can unequivocally say I will at some point have sugar. My intention is by no means to be sugar-free for the rest of my life. But one day at a time. And while the first maybe 4 or 5 days took intentional willpower and discipline and sort of just gut it out, do it whether you want to do it or not, it didn't take long at all for me to then want to do it because I felt so much better. And the reduction in anxiety was just one of many ways that I felt so much better. I was sleeping better. My ability to focus was better. My drive, motivation, all of those things were improved. So many things got better. I was less moody. I had a better disposition around my kids. My tolerance for the chaos went up. I'm sure that this isn't limited just to parents of small children, but you know how sometimes you just feel like you're gonna snap, like you can't take one thing more? I certainly get to that point with my children, like, okay, Chris, take over. I'm going to go into the bathroom and lock the door for like 3 minutes and just give myself a mental reset. Since I have eliminated sugar, my tolerance is significantly better. I still get frustrated, but I am not nearly as sensitive to the noise, sensitive to the whining. I'm in a much better place. And I'm not surprised by it, but I am thrilled. And I'm proud of myself too, because it's, of course, we all know it's a challenging season to take that on. And I'm not somebody who regularly was consuming sugar beforehand. It might be a little bit here, a bite of this, a handful of this, a day where we go out for ice cream or something like that. It certainly wasn't a daily thing. But even then, right? Even if you're listening to this and like, oh, I don't eat that much sugar anyway, the difference between a little bit and none is tremendous. So I think that that had the biggest impact on my anxiety specifically. The sixth and final change I want to share with you, and this one might surprise you. It certainly surprised the heck out of me. I did not see this coming. I did not see myself taking this on. I did not imagine that I would be doing this ever. But I've been weighing myself every single day. And I want to tell you why. I don't recommend this for everybody. Let me first say that. There was a time when what I saw in the scale would impact me emotionally and significantly. All right. So if the number was down, everything's good. If the number was up, I'd be mad. I'd be frustrated. I'd think about it all day long. And then I'd sort of game it, right? If the number was down, like, oh, I'm doing so well. I've made so much progress. I can now eat blah, blah, blah. Or it kind of went both ways, right? If the number wasn't down, I'd be like, oh, what's the point? It's not even working. So I might as well eat all of the stuff. Or, you know, if I had a couple of days where I was doing really well and the scale didn't react, maybe I stayed the same, or I thought I should have lost 3 pounds and I only lost 0.2 pounds, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to reset my metabolism. And I'd talk myself into something like a binge or just some ridiculous amount of overindulging or indulging at all to reset my metabolism. I mean, it was just stupid, right? So if you are in that place where you're playing dumb games and telling crazy stories and getting emotional about the scale, don't do this. But I'm not in that place. I'm very objective about it. And it has been awesome and it has been interesting. And the reason it's been interesting is because instead of being frustrated by something like, oh, 3 great days in a row and the scale is the same, or it went up by half a pound, or it went up by 1.7 pounds. Like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. It's more like, huh, yeah, I can see that. I lifted really hard yesterday, and so my muscles are probably holding on to more water. Or what happened today, I walked into the bathroom. I've been eating super, super consistently for weeks, and I've lost weight. But what I knew going into it was, there had been 4 days in a row of the scale going down, and I just was like, it's not just going to keep going down. There's going to be at some point where it jumps up, because that's the pattern. Whether we think it's logical based on our habits or not, the path of weight loss is usually like a little bit of progress and then nothing. And then it seems like maybe we like our weight just jumped. Like, why did it jump? That doesn't seem to have any explanation whatsoever. Or it stays the same, stays the same, stays the same, stays the same. What the heck? I'm doing all the things. Why is it staying the same? And then there's a big drop. And so I'm very much not only expecting that pattern, expecting there to be ups, expecting there to be downs, expecting there to be plateaus that don't make sense. And I'm just very emotionally neutral about it and very curious about it. And when I see something like, gosh, it's been such a great week and the scale hasn't really moved, my mindset now, which it was not years ago, my mindset now is like, oh, this is when it's most important to stay in the game and stay really consistent, because that reflection of my effort is coming, right? It's in the next few days. So I just need to stay in the game. The reason that I find it so valuable is because it forces me to be eyes wide open about my progress. Now, not everybody has a weight loss goal, or not everybody's weight loss goal is best reflected on the scale, right? If you're in the last 10 or 15 pounds of weight loss, the scale might not really be reflective of that. It might be something like measurements, or it might be something like pictures. But if you have more weight than that to lose, then the scale can be very helpful if you're not an emotional nut about it. I used to be an emotional nut about it. It wasn't a good thing then, and I don't recommend it if you're in that place. But right now, what it's allowing me to do is just be eyes wide open about progress. I don't want to be in a place of like, I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty well. You know, like, I have some moments where I'm not doing so well, but like overall, yeah, I'm working out. I'm eating pretty well. And what can happen, and what happened to me in my postpartum fog, is like, I'm doing pretty well, but I'm not doing good enough, right? I'm not doing enough to make the progress I want to make towards my goals. And so this period of time where it's eyes wide open on my results, it just allows me to not be like, I'm walking every day, I'm working out, that's awesome in my situation. No, if I want results, then I've got to look that dead in the eye. And I find it really helpful to do it daily. The other reason that I'm doing it daily, again, good for me because I'm not emotional about the number. I'm not telling these stories. I'm not manipulating my daily activities based on what the scale says, right? If you're doing those things, this isn't for you. But the other reason that it's really good is because if I say, just check my weight once a week or once every other week, I might have picked the day where it's uncharacteristically up for no reason, right? When I can look at the numbers and be like, okay, it was down a little, down a little, down a lot, up a lot, down a little, still net down, right? But it maybe I just happened to jump on the scale when it was the day that it was up 2 pounds, but it had been down 3.1, right? So now it looks like I've only lost a pound, but I'm really down 3. It's just there's natural fluctuations and you can't really see that if you're just arbitrarily picking a day to weigh. Or, for example, some days I check my weight when I get up at 4:30 in the morning, right? And other days I might not check my weight until 7:30 in the morning, and that makes a really big difference. It does. It makes a really big difference on things like hydration and if you ate or if you didn't or anything like that. So I am finding that it is working very, very well for me, and I'm loving it, and I'm loving my decision to be eyes wide open on my goal and face the consequences of my daily habits every day. There's no more generalizing about my effort or my initiative or anything like that. Like, it's very, very specific. It's very clear. And I'm not turning my eyes away from what's happening in my body. So I had not weighed myself in a really long time. And a lot of that had to do with I was pregnant in 2019 and 2020, had a baby in 2020, got pregnant again in 2020, had a baby in 2021, got pregnant in 2022, had twins. So, you know, there was a lot going on that it just didn't really make a whole lot of sense for me with breastfeeding and all of those different things, but it makes sense for me now and I'm feeling really good about it. Okay, we'll wrap up really quickly with what's new from Primal Potential, what's coming for Primal Potential. We've talked a lot about the consistency calendar. That is a new thing. I had, for the last couple years, made available a monthly consistency calendar only inside the consistency course. This year, it is a big poster size, year-at-a-glance consistency calendar available for everybody. It's a visual way to track your consistency. I send it out with a starter set of stickers that you use to track your consistency for whatever things you're wanting to keep tabs on, whether that's financial or it's health related, it's fitness related, parenting related. So that is new, and I'll link it in the show notes. I'm very exciting. We also launched our deck of daily question cards. I feel very strongly that one of the best ways to make big changes in your life is to become a better thinker. The how of that becomes super murky, and I find questions to be a great way to do that. So I created a deck of 122, 121, something like that, different questions that you can ask yourself. You can pick out the ones that work best for you. You can cycle through a different one every single day. You can journal about them, whatever. I'll link those up as well. Strong Foundations. Strong Foundations is new. It's super exciting. You still have a few days to join us. We kick off officially. Our kickoff call is January 7th, which is a Sunday. That is a program, 5-week program with myself and Coach Morgan Bungers. He's the one writing all the workouts, 3 different tiers. You can do it at home. You don't have to be fit. You don't have to have equipment. You don't have to have a gym membership. And we really want to help you focus on the foundation of getting strong. We're going to talk about mindset stuff. We'll talk about nutrition stuff. And of course, the workouts and how to modify for your unique situation and circumstances. I'll put that link there. And then lastly, what's coming in 2024? I don't know. I wish that I had 2024 mapped out, at least professionally. I'm toying with the idea of another book. I've started and stopped a book, and it just hasn't been the right time with kids and stuff, but I'm sort of toying with 2024 being the year that there's another book. I really want to double down on the podcast and bringing a lot more value here, creating more tools to go along with the episodes for you guys. The goals episode from Saturday is an example of that, where I provided a worksheet and a video that explains the worksheet so that you can go through the process on your own for the goals. I want to do more stuff like that. And my health is going to remain number one, my number one priority above work, above parenting. Obviously, my kids aren't going to go unfed, but I have to be as strong and fit and healthy as possible to be able to be the best mom that I can be. And so that is my primary focus going into the year, and I will continue to keep you updated on it. I'll link up everything we've talked about in the show description. You tell me what you'd like to see in 2024. I would love to hear from more of you more often. DM me on Instagram, shoot me an email, elizabeth@primalpotential.com. I would really love to hear from more of you guys. That was hard for a while for me because I wasn't working as much when the kids were first born, but I'm in a really great place work-wise right now. So message me, email me, tell me what would be helpful to hear about, what kind of episodes you want to see in 2024. And I'd love to hear too, what were some of your big takeaways from this year? What was awesome? What was hard? What are you most proud of? And I'll keep coming at you every single day on the podcast. And I can't wait to walk alongside you, hopefully with a lot of you guys in strong foundations. That's going to be amazing. But walk alongside you no matter what that looks like as you get happier and healthier and make progress towards your goals. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year. I'll see you tomorrow.